Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Good morning, Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Ruben Nava and Jesse Romero, we are the DOJ, the Disciples of Jesus, and we're calling all the ATF to assemble the faithful to get us out here, and let's join forces.
People. That's right. Well, let me throw some in there. We're part of the FBI, Firm Believers In. We're part of the CIA, Catholics in Action.
Right.
We're part of the UFC, Ultimate Faithful Catholics, and we're part of the MMA, Mother Mary's Army. Every day, Jesus 911.
Amen. All right. Good ones. Jess, go ahead.
Yeah, Ruben, again, I think that the thing that's most relevant right now, everybody wants to know about the effects of these Marxist COVID lockdowns. And there's a great angle that was written in an article that's known as the rising biomedical security state is determined to use COVID to reduce every human being to a QR code. I hope they're wrong, but the article makes some good arguments, Ruben, and it just goes to show you that what we're under right now is people that want complete world domination, and in order to do that, they have to dominate us. Especially the patriots, people of faith, conservatives, we're the ones that they're basically going after because they're saying, oh, these are the ones that are resisting full compliance. Yeah. Jess Romero, Ruben Nava, and everybody else that I know, we will resist full compliance of these Marxist plans until my deathbed.
Yes, Jess. Once you give up your freedoms, you can't get them back. That's just it. And, you know, this is what's amazing to me is how fast this is moving. This was like the 2030 project that they used to talk about, the reset, you know, and to see it moving at such speed, not just here, but across the globe. You know, you see Australia, you saw some pushback in the UK, which was great to see that the mandated vaccines were kind of put on hold. And so we've got to do the same thing here. But you still got over here in California, Jess. You know, my wife says she was at Target yesterday, and this is not LA County. That she was in San Bernardino County, and you know, maybe 85% of the people were wearing masks. You know, so they've already got them trained, and they're just waiting. Yeah. Well, what's next? What? Okay, Mr. Government, what do you want us to do next? You know, and so we'll be talking about this.
Yeah, Ruben, you know what's going on? It's you know what they call it? Well, you know, since you're a cop for a long time, they call this the Stockholm Syndrome. Americans are under the Stockholm Syndrome. What do I mean by that? The Stockholm Syndrome is when a kidnapper who brutalizes the victim scares the victim to the point where now if the kidnapper shows a little kindness, like, hey, you want to use the bathroom? Hey, you want a glass of water? Now the victim starts in her mind, they're saying, oh, he's really a nice guy. He's not mean. Officers, leave him alone. He's a good guy. He gave me a glass of water. Most Americans are going through the Stockholm Syndrome. They don't realize how evil our government is right now. And so any concession, when they say, well, you know, you don't have to wear the mask in your house or at a gym or whatever, the government's really nice.
Yeah,
that's what we're going through. It's the Stockholm Syndrome, and most Americans have fallen under this spell.
Yeah,
yeah. Let's go ahead.
They're like, well, we're glad. We're just lucky to have the gym open. You know.
Yes, yes. They're throwing us peanuts and stuff, and oh, thank you for the peanuts, sir. Thank you for the peanuts, Mr. Fauci, Mr. Biden.
Yeah,
yeah. Ruben, so you know what a QR code is? QR code is. Those are those black and white squares that are typically used for storing websites, you know, URLs or other information so you can read them on a camera on your smartphone. That's what a QR code is.
I'll tell you right now, Jess, I'm sick and tired of going to restaurants and having to use my phone to get the menu because they don't want to hand out menus. that other people have touched. And so
same here, Ruben. What an inconvenience. You're right. Yeah. You're right. So without fanfare and without hardly a peep from the corporate owned establishment media, the United Nations, first enemy, World Health Organization, another enemy, also known as the WHO, they issued a document last week that should set off alarm bells for lovers of freedom and liberty everywhere. That's us. Mm-hmm. The document provides guidance for every nation in the world on how to go about implementing digital health passports, which is something that Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, and other power elites have said since last year would be absolutely essential to conquering the COVID pandemic. Yeah, listen to these guys. Trust them. The title alone of the document appears designed to repel the average reader and lull them to sleep. The document's called, looks like it harmless, Digital Documentation of COVID-19 Certificates, Vaccination Status, Technical Specifications, and Implementation Guidance. Why don't you call the document, be honest, and say, we want to control you because we've embraced communism. That's what it should be called.
Right, yeah.
Go ahead.
So so the WHO, who's working for the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, to produce a high-value standard for international adoption and technical information exchange. In layman's terms, we're talking about a digital health passport. So these passports, as we've covered in depth in previous articles, they said, are meant for no other purpose than to track and trace the movement of people in real time, scooping up data all along the way. It's nobody's business where I go and what I do. So to me, the red flags are going up, big time. I've got it's like when you're going into a house, you're not going in with your gun holstered, man. My gun is out and I'm scanning the room, I've got my back to the wall and I'm walking carefully because this right there, it's causing us concern here. And so in other words, one of the most basic rights in any free society, the freedom of movement, will be shattered if your city, state, or nation follows the advice of the WHO, the World Economic Forum, or any of its tech partners such as Microsoft, IBM, Google, Facebook, etc. The WHO paper states its purpose is to provide standards and specs for the governments and contractors seeking to impose digital vaccine passports on global populations.
And this is Ruben. This is language consistent with what Catholic theology teaches about the Antichrist. Seriously.
Yeah, the one world order.
One world order, one world government, one world bank, dominated by one person called the Antichrist, who's a shot caller who has direct communication with Satan, mm-hmm. but he needs to set up a global network of everything. This is anti-Christic language, I'll say that.
Yep.
Go ahead, Ruben.
This is the Novus Ordo Seclorum, the one world order.
One world order. Yeah. Or the new world order.
The new one. Yeah. This is a guidance, a document for countries and implementing partners on the technical requirements for developing digital information systems for issuing standards-based interoperable digital certificates for COVID-19 vaccination status and considerations for implementation of such systems for the purpose of continuity of care and of proof of vaccine.
Yeah, this technology is going to be used to track not only the movement of people, but to monitor their need for continuity of care, which foretells the World Health Organization's desire for continuous vaccine booster shots in perpetuity for every man, woman, and child. Yeah, they want to keep on jabbing people until they finally find the right ingredients to kill the person. The system is even designed for maximum printability so that the holders of vaccine passports without a smartphone can receive a printed QR code. And the document was issued August 27, with the intended audience being the World Health Organization member states and technology contractors with a stake in the digital passport business, where tech companies stand to reap billions of dollars in profits, follow the money, over the next several years, installing this new surveillance grid. This document talks about the need to implement digital vaccine passports through the whole of society and how to do it. Vaccination records can also provide proof of vaccination status for purposes not related to health care. Let me move on to the next paragraph. It says, about talking about the coming fourth industrial revolution. I believe this could be the coming of the fourth industrial revolution. If governments and their tech partners are successful in implementing the system and getting the public conditioned to accept it, the next step, already envisioned by the World Economic Forum, is to move the QR code from the smartphone to the person's actual body. You don't believe me? Klaus Schwab, director and founder of the World Health Economic Forum, which hosts the world's top political and economic power players each year in Davos, Switzerland, said that in 2016, while promoting his book on the fourth industrial revolution, said that this global revolution will, quote, lead to a fusion of our physical, biological, and digital identities, close quote.
Yeah.
We'll stop right there, Ruben, because we're going to come on to a hard break. But this is serious stuff that we're dealing with, Ruben. We have billionaire secular humanists that have finally found the perfect way to control the human person, especially the conservative and person of faith, and how to depopulate planet Earth without, again, making it look nice and friendly.
Yeah. And our Pope hosted these people at the Vatican.
He sure did. Yeah. Pray for the Pope.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And we definitely have to stay ready. what we're listening to here. Jesse, you know, this call, Klaus Schwab, you know, there's a video.
He's an evil man, bro. He's an evil man. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. So there's a video clip that if you go to our show page and you click on the link, you'll be able to listen to it. And, you know, it's just what he's talking about is being able to implement chips implanted in the skin or the brain that will connect them to the internet. You know, how evil is this, man? This is like Frankenstein, you know?
It is. Yeah. This guy's a Frankenstein scientist, a modern Frankenstein scientist.
Yeah. Like, remember the old movie, Young Frankenstein, went and got the brain of Abby Normal, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Abnormal. His book was published in 2016. It stated that the time was near when developments in technology would not only change the way we live and work, but would be even challenging ideas about what it means to be human. You know, of course, there's a segment of the population worldwide who Schwab, Gates, Fauci, Rockefeller, Soros, Buffett, and the rest of the elites know will never get on board with their plan for changing the very idea of what it means to be human. That's what the rollout of this controversial mRNA COVID shots. That's why it's been extremely valuable to the strategists behind the New World Order. They are getting a very good feel for exactly who they will need to either re-educate or, if that's not possible, eliminate from society altogether.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's where the digital certificate passports come in. They are, by their very nature, coercive, an obvious in-your-face assault on basic human freedom. Anyone who accepts such an intrusion on their movement and privacy is clearly already primed for the ultimate marking of the New World Order, which will be to accept the QR code marked right onto their skin using microneedles and invisible dye. Gates has already funded a project at MIT to do just that.
Wow, wow, wow. The World Health Organization document also mentions that once established, these digital certificates could be loaded with data that includes not just COVID vaccine status, but all vaccines and health records. The ultimate goal is to have a global identification system that's mated to one's vaccine status, a dream that the Gates and Rockefeller Foundations have been striving to fulfill since their launch of the ID 2020 initiative in 2019 before COVID was the thing. So again, they've been working on this even before COVID. In fact, the slippery slope towards making every man, woman, and child a walking QR code is already being traversed worldwide. Scannable QR codes allowing employers, businesses, and other organizations to see your vaccination status and decide whether to allow you onto their property are already making their way into several states and cities across the U.S. and throughout Europe. The Show Your Papers Society is emerging before our very eyes, and very few Americans seem concerned or even aware. A company called MyIR Mobile is working in several states, providing an app that allows the user to prove your COVID status for travel, schoolwork, or any other situation where proof is required. Simply register your account and open the QR code in your app to allow others to scan your proof of vaccination. Ruben, this is what I would call a brave new world. This is the left is trying to create a dystopian society. Mm-hmm. And again, this company that Trump is Show Your Papers app as a great achievement, this is part of this dystopian society, this disordered society that's being promoted by the left and by leftist elite forces. Can you imagine, again, the Show Your Papers app, people think it's a great achievement. I mean, how did humanity ever get by for thousands of years without having a scannable QR code phone app that allows them to be tracked and traced,
yeah,
or to have their mere presence at a public location questioned and challenged as if they were someone's property? I mean, heck, a dog on a leash has more freedom than this, but still you're encouraged to register now because they say it's simple and secure. Ruben?
Mm. Yeah. One of our buddies who... Hector, who watches the show, he posted something that it was a picture of Ben Franklin who said, those who give up freedom for safety deserve neither. And yet we heard recently when our president was scolding us, this is not about freedom. This is about your safety. So, you know, you got to let that sink in for a bit. You know, we don't deserve our freedoms if that's the way we're going to think and that's the way we're going to follow along without pushing back. And this article, we'll get into it a little more. But this is wars were fought over stuff like this, you know.
Even for things less
than this,
intrusive than this.
Yep. Yeah. So there's no other way around it. This is the digital form of Nazi Germany. Show Your Papers Society announcing itself as having arrived in the home of the brave and land of the free. It's no longer hiding. It's right in our faces. The premise behind the MyIR Mobile is clear. Either get vaccinated or your life is over. It is just one of dozens of such tech companies seeking to cash in on the fear-crazed new normal. New normal, that's in quotes, that globalist elites have created in the wake of the COVID pandemic. They are using the power of technology for the utmost evil to literally cancel you from all of society. This is the global technocrats getting their foot in the door of a place they have no business being, your personal health care, and claiming that you have the right to convince every business to discriminate against you based on your so-called vaccine status, which has nothing at all to do with whether or not you are healthy or a danger to others. And the CDC and lying Fauci have already admitted that these vaccines don't stop you from getting COVID. They don't stop the spread, COVID, the spread of COVID, and only protect you against serious illness for 3 to 5 months. Within 5 months, your protection starts to seriously wane, and you will need another booster to retain your coveted status as fully vaccinated. Those who can't prove they have that status will only be discriminated against. But the government will incentivize businesses to discriminate against them, which is what we're seeing now. And, there's already lawsuits in the works that are being pushed through because this is totally against our Constitution, Jess. I mean, the 14th Amendment, it says all persons born or naturalized in the U.S. and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the law.
Reuben, this, again, like you just said, wars have been fought for far less issues. This is very serious. We're about to lose our freedoms. We've got to fight like we've never fought before. Globalist elites love to play the Hegelian dialectic. What is that? The Hegelian dialectic, this is a framework for guiding your thoughts and actions into conflicts that lead us to a predetermined solution. This is exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So a crisis, real or manufactured, provokes a reaction from the people who demand that the government take action to protect them. And then the horrifying solution is brought forth and it's worse than the problem. And again, it's not going to stop the digital vaccine passport.
Right.
This is merely the first stop on the way to creating a digital ID that will be required of all global citizens in order to be allowed to buy or sell anything unless we fight like our life depends on it. And this reminds me, Reuben, of the book of Revelation, chapter 13 and 16 and 17. It says, also it, the beast, who's the beast? The beast is a superpower, the world power at the time. Also, the beast causes both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark of the beast. That is the name of the beast or the number of its name. In other words, John the Apostle wrote on the right hand, it's on the right shoulder. Okay, he was very close. But you're going to see that if they implement these universal vaccines as they're trying to do, your vaccination status and eventually including data points allowing the government and corporate world, they're going to know everything about you in a single glance. Mm-hmm. And some of these will recognize, some people are going to recognize these societal changes as tyranny, and they're going to balk. They're going to balk at the transformation. That's why, again, it's critical to get, this is why for the elites, the globalists, they want all the children into the system as soon as possible. They basically want to they want to vaccinate them, Reuben. Fauci and company are frantically trying to push this and get as many young people vaccinated.
Yeah.
And you know what their attitude is? Shut up, do as you're told, or prepare to hibernate inside your home for the rest of your life, unable to work, shop, or travel, or go anywhere. And if you're not comfortable with such a world like this, then you've got to resist. We must resist and fight back.
Yeah, you're right. The purpose, one of the things they want to do by vaccinating the children is because it's been known to, in some people, to cause sterilization. So what the adults they don't kill, they just work on the youth so they can't repopulate. And
That's right. Yeah.
So they're,
yeah, you know, this is supposed to cause sterilization.
Yeah. If you're 12 years old, you're not going to find out for 10 to 15 years that you can't have kids. By then, it's too late. And you know what's interesting is that, you know, what about the 70% of Black Americans who refuse to be vaccinated? You know, the administration says that it's the Trump people, it's, you know, the conservatives that are the holdouts. But I wouldn't say 70% of Blacks are conservative, you know?
No, absolutely not.
So they just don't trust the government. You know, remember the Tuskegee, you know, the syphilis experiments back in the
30s? Absolutely.
And the left's been arguing for no mandatory IDs for voting because it's racist, they say, and it disenfranchises minorities and people of color from voting. But yet they're going to cancel 70% of Blacks from working or participating in society. They're talking out of both sides of their mouth, Jesse.
Reuben, and I'm surprised any Jew or any German would want to be vaxxed, knowing that Hitler, he weaponized the German doctors against the Jews to kill them. And he was tagging the Jews, you know, that there were these yellow bands. I'm surprised any Germans or any Jews can't see this and say, we've seen this before. This was done by Adolf Hitler. Reuben, one last thing I'll mention, and you got a degree in sociology, so you probably remember this. What they're using against us is called the Milgram experiment. What's the Milgram experiment? This was done by a Yale professor, Dr. Stanley Milgram. What they did is they measured the willingness of participants. They got men between the ages of 20 and 50 years old. you know, varying degrees of education. And what they did is a person in authority told them to do something that went against their conscience. Well, guess what they found out? Well, we'll continue, because that's what they're doing to us right now. This is PSYOPs. Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero Rubin Nava. I'm in Ohio, Fort Recovery, Ohio. I'm going to do some power preaching tonight at Our Lady of Health Nutrition. I'll be right back.
In the Buckeye State.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. We're talking about this dystopian vaccine, the status, what they want to do to us, injecting us with chips, and it's just so Frankensteinish that...
Yeah, it sure is.
Can't even...
Ruben, let me make 2 points. You got a degree in sociology, so you're gonna know about this. So this will be something that you said, oh yeah, I studied that. Yeah,
don't remind me.
What they're doing to us is the Stockholm syndrome again. These globalists are throwing us in the midst of these lockdowns and this COVID-19 pandemic. They're throwing us some crumbs, and so the majority of Americans are gonna swoon and they're gonna say, oh, isn't Biden and Fauci and the Democrats, they're so kind. I don't have to wear my mask inside my house, or I don't have to wear a mask in my car. They're also implementing, again, this is PSYOPs. This is psychological warfare of the mind. And this is how they get low-hanging fruit or low-information Catholics or low-information of Americans. There's another famous study called the Milgram Experiment. It was conducted by a Yale professor. What they did, they got a bunch of guys between 20 and 50 to do something against their personal conscience. So what they did, there was a guy in a room, and he was like in an electric chair, and the professor, the doctor said, okay, hit the button and shock him. So the learner is saying like, and they were, by the way, they were fake electric shocks, but the people didn't know. So they went in there, and they pushed the button. The guy started screaming, like, oh, oh, oh. So people on the outside that were in line, the other man, they heard, they walked into the room. The professor, the doctor says, press the shock. He goes, no, he's in pain. I can't do that. He's being electrocuted. Shock him. They hit the button. The person screamed and everybody outside could hear. One by one, they marshaled in the men and they heard the guy screaming like he's dying. And they were fake shocks, but they didn't know that.
Wow.
And so what was the demonstrator from here? Is that most people, if they're told by somebody in authority, like a doctor, okay, like a professor, to do something that's wrong, their moral conscience is going to shut down. This is the average person. In other words, this experiment demonstrated that authority will trump conscience with most people. That's why, again, you got, you know, some bishop saying or priest, take down your pants and grab your ankles. So I hate to be so graphic. And why do people do that, Ruben? Why? Because the person's in authority. They're saying, he's in authority. They shut down their moral conscience. This has been proven. This is what happens. Authority will trump moral conscience. And so, you know, the father tells the kid, I'm going to buy you a hooker. Dad, why are you going to? Yeah, you're 17, you're 18. You need to sleep with a girl. I'm going to buy you a hooker. Oh, Dad, but really, Dad, get over your son. This is what men do. The kid's going to shut down his moral conscience, do what Dad says. That's called the milk. This is what we're doing. They're doing to us right now, Ruben.
Yeah. And we've got to fight back.
Ooh. Absolutely. That's why we have to mind the Christ, faith and prayers to fight against this so that our mind is strong against these PSYOP operations.
Yeah. And you're responsible for your family members, getting them secure and giving them good, solid Catholic upbringing and teaching and forming their conscience so that, you know, they're in a state of grace, they can resist the evil one. And that's, I mean, it goes back to our confirmation. We're soldiers for Christ, man. We're born for battle. And
amen. Hopefully the 13th.
You know, if we're not, if it's not us, then who? Then if it's not now, then when?
When?
You know, we got to, the line in the sand has been drawn, and we've got to stand and fill the gap, fill the breach, and get in there and fight. This is unacceptable. This is unacceptable, and I'm not going to sit here and take it. And So we got to join together. We got to join, and you know, people of goodwill. You know, it does not have to be just Catholics. We have to people of goodwill have come, and there's a lot of patriots out there. You know, 80 million who haven't been vaccinated. So,
yeah. In fact, Ruben, I feel a more fraternal bond with a person of goodwill, like say, like a Larry Elder, who's a Protestant, and a person of goodwill, than I do with a liberal Catholic like Pelosi or Biden. Mm. Why? Again, it goes back to the song of the angels that we pray at Mass in the glory. Glory to God in the highest and peace to men of goodwill. It's from the Douay Rheims Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what the angels taught us. Glory to God and peace to men of who? Of goodwill. Right now, Ruben, we have to lock arms with men. Then there's a lot of them out there. And hopefully through these relationships, we can share our faith and we can bring them back to Christ. Mm-hmm. But I just want to mention one more thing before we move on to the next topic. Spiritually, Ruben, I could see the way the vaccine is the mark of the beast. Why do I say that? Again, going back to the book of Revelation, nobody can buy or sell without the mark of the beast taken in his hand. Why would I, again, because I'm using a kind of a spiritual interpretation here. This is not church teaching. This is Jesse Romero. Why would I say that the vaccines could be the mark of the beast? Well, because they're used with experimental or aborted baby fetal stem cells. Well, guess what? Every Satanist will tell you, and many of them are very open about it. They're on the internet talking about it. They all say that abortion is a satanic sacrifice to Satan, just like the Eucharist is a sacrifice to God the Father, the once and for all sacrifice of Christ made present in the eternal now sacred time back to God the Father. For the Satanists, an abortion is a satanic sacrifice to their father, Satan. And so anything related to abortion, again, so here's my point, is that by accepting a vaccination made or tested by way of the use of aborted babies, a person is accepting the mark of the beast in their body. Why do I say that? Every Satanist will tell you, Lucien Greaves, the president of the Temple of Satan from Denver, Detroit, Michigan, and many others across the country, they're always on the news. They'll tell you abortion is a satanic sacrifice. This is, again, why exorcists tell you can't put the jab because you're accepting aborted baby fetal cells. And these fetal cells, according to Satanists, these are a blood sacrifice to Satan. I'm done.
Mm.
Interesting, right?
Yeah, it's, man.
That's deep theology, bro.
Yeah.
I know I gave people Charlie horses right now, intellectual Charlie horses.
Yeah, Jess. But we leave it to Jesse, man, to brighten the day. Yeah.
Hey, today's the feast of St. Matthew. Pray for us, first gospel writer. St. Matthew, pray for us.
Pray for us, yeah. And
let's move on, Ruben.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. So everybody remembers Cardinal Ratzinger, right? The former Pope, who is Pope Emeritus. There's an analyzing his an astonishing prediction when he was a cardinal. Cardinal Ratzinger. So it's back in '69. There was a radio interview that he did, in which then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger riffed about the future of the Church and modern society in a brilliant stream of consciousness. And so every word in one section has come to pass or is beginning to there before the eyes of those with eyes to see. Mm-hmm. So we posted a transcript of this in this blog here years ago.
You can hear it, but we'll read it.
Yeah. Because anyway, it's interesting to know what he was saying from way back then, you know. And remember, he was part of the conclave. He was part of the Vatican II, and he was one of the, you know, the Pariti that was changing the liturgy. And I think, Jesse, after that, I think he had a little bit more of an awakening. And he
certainly did.
He got a little more conservative after that.
He red-pilled. He saw that there was some evil purple people in the concilium under Archbishop Annibal Bonini that did not have the mind of the church. They wanted to create a new church, and so he started red pilling shortly after Vatican II. Yeah. But it really took full form probably about 20 years ago.
Okay, so let's get into this. Let's ask ourselves honestly in prayer, how much of it may pertain to each of us? You know, so a few snippets of it. The future of the church can and will exude from those whose roots are deep and who live from the pure fullness of their faith, said the future pope. It will not exude from those who accommodate themselves merely to the passing moment or from those who criticize others and assume that they themselves are infallible measuring rods. And nor will it exude from those who take the easier road, who sidestep the passion of faith, declaring false and obsolete tyrannies and legalistic all that makes demands upon us that hurts them and compels them to sacrifice. Right there, tyrannies. You know, we're seeing this because, you know, we relate this to Nazi Germany. That was an obsolete tyranny. There's no room for that in a free society. And so that's what he says. Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah, and again, he says the faith is only going to exude from people who have the pure fullness of their faith. He's taking a shot at modernism. He's already starting to see this infiltrate the church back when he's writing this. Modernism does not have the fullness of the faith. Modernism is a facsimile of Catholicism. And he also talks about at the end of that what Ruben just read, that we can't take the easy road and we can't be declaring false and obsolete tyrannies and legalistic. And so again, the Joseph Ratzinger, who later became the Pope, is saying that following the Catholic faith is not going to be the easy road. Now, I think he also does, to be fair, in this transcript, I think he also kind of takes a little jab at the SSPX, to be honest with you, because he says, and again, he modified his position. He became very friendly toward the Latin Mass in the last 20 years, because where he says this, or from those who criticize others and assume that they themselves are infallible measuring rods. So that may have been early on again when he was, again, having the dialogues with those of the leaders of the SSPX.
I don't know, Jess, because this was in 69 and this SSPX wasn't even formed yet.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. All right. So it wasn't. It was he's talking about other people, obviously, who had kind of an unbending position. So, yeah, it wasn't the SSPX. So they weren't even around yet.
Yeah.
So he says, to put this more positively, the future of the church will be reshaped by saints, by men whose minds probe deeper than the slogans of the day, whose minds see more than others see because their minds embrace a wider reality. Mm. How does all this affect the problem we're examining? He asked rhetorically. Again, we'll continue talking about Joseph Ratzinger and his prophecies about the church getting smaller. That's ultimately what he says in this article. It's going to get smaller, the stronger. We'll be right back. Amen.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Romans 5:3-4.
Powerful, powerful thought for the day. We're looking at Joseph Ratzinger's reflections when he was a young man. He later became Pope Benedict XVI. A lot of the things that he said have come to pass, where he talks about, we have no need of a church that celebrates the cult of action in political prayers. In other words, knock it off with these political prayers. We pray for Black Lives Matter. We pray for George Floyd. Knock it off with getting political.
Right.
Joseph Ratzinger says, it is utterly superfluous, therefore it will destroy itself. Okay, when you start embracing these, again, this leftist ideology and stuff and bringing it into the church, he says, what will remain is the church of Jesus Christ, the church that believes in God, the church in the God who has become man and promises us of life beyond death. So Joseph Ratzinger is saying the only thing that's going to remain is a church that is a Christocentric, and again, it believes in Jesus Christ, his promises, and especially the promise of the resurrection. He talked about the crisis of the church today. He says, from the crisis of today, the church of tomorrow will emerge. A church that has lost much, she will become small. Sounds like right now, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
And will have to start afresh, more or less, from the beginning. Think about the early apostolic times, people's houses or caves. It means the big talk of those who prophesy a church without God and without faith, that's all empty chatter. But the church will no longer be able to inhabit many of the edifices she built in prosperity, he says, as the number of her adherents diminishes, so it will lose many of her social privileges in contrast to an earlier age. It will be seen much more as a voluntary society, entered only by free decision, and as a small society, it will make much bigger demands on the initiative of her individual members. That's happened. The church is getting smaller, but what hasn't happened yet is what keeps a lot of the modernist, what I would call the establishment church, alive and well, is the deep pocket money that they get from the Democrat Party, George Soros, and others. And also, they still have the big edifices. They still have the chancery offices, the big football stadiums, the big college universities. Joseph Ratzinger says one of these days, he goes, that's going to come to an end. I think that's been the problem, Ruben. I think the church has got in bed with the world and we lost.
Yeah. Well, you're seeing churches close up everywhere. You know, the churches are being sold off. It's despicable to see them sold off to the and turned into museums or turned into, I think one case it was turned into like a nightclub in one of the churches I read about. But he says that we're going to start afresh more or less from the beginning. And you're seeing that movement going back to the traditional Latin Mass. You know, there's a big movement of people that are flocking to the Mass of all time. So,
Ruben, and that's a theory from a lot of good people that I respect, that it's going to be that the Latin Mass is going to emerge to basically be fulfill the prophecies of Joseph Ratzinger, that the church is going to get small, people are going to flock to the Latin Mass, but it's going to become strong. And that's what I'm seeing in a lot of the Latin Mass parishes.
Right. If this is then, and what he's saying is just consistent with Scripture. Jesus said, when I come back, will I find any faith at all? You know, there's going to be a remnant left. He's talking about this remnant that you want to be part of.
Amen.
If nothing else, you be part of that remnant, you know, even if you're locked down with these stupid COVID restrictions. And, you know, it could be that we're going to be in the catacombs. We're going to be, you know, home masses. And, you know, you take care of your priests. That's why you take care of your priests, because without the priests, there's no Eucharist.
Yeah, we'll be like St. Margaret Clitheroe and many of the English martyrs that were hiding priests from one house to another. They were praying the Mass. And again, some of these lay Catholics got caught and they were killed by the government. Yeah. We could return to that. Same thing in Mexico under the Cristeros. They were hiding priests, and if you got caught hiding a priest, the government killed you as well. Mm-hmm. We could possibly return to that, Ruben.
Yeah, I believe it. So he goes on to say, undoubtedly, it will discover new forms of ministry and will ordain to the priesthood approved Christians who pursue some profession. And we saw that, you know, when John Paul II allowed, some of these Protestant groups, the Protestant ministers that were married to come in, when they converted to Catholicism,
they brought in some good people from the Anglican and Episcopalian order that are now very Orthodox priests. They got their own right. It's called the It's at Terry's Parish. It's called the Anglican Ordinariate.
Yeah.
And these guys are very well formed Catholic priests who were once Protestant ministers.
Yeah, in my estimation, you know, from attending it over here with Terry at Terry's Chapel here, it's in many cases more reverent than your average Novus Ordo.
Without a doubt, Ruben.
Yeah. You're not gonna get the priest be talking about, hey, we got to pray for the Dodgers today, you know. Right during their World Series run. Okay, the Dodgers play tonight. Let's pray for them. Come on, man.
Some of the Spanish Mass says, hey, who's going to vote for the Chivas today? Yay! I'm
like, oh. Yeah, arriba la Chiva, right?
Okay, knock it off, dude. Quit.
Okay, we got distracted there. So anyway, he goes on to say, in many smaller congregations or in self-contained social groups, pastoral care will normally be provided in this fashion. Alongside this, the full-time ministry of the priesthood will be indispensable as formerly. It's indispensable. It's right. Like I said, we can't.
Here's what I see him saying there, Ruben. I see him when the church really goes underground and really goes into the catacombs in our times, and I think it's heading in that direction. We're going to have a lot of Saint Tarsicius. In other words, they're going to be priests that are going to be, say, this guy's in jail, this guy's here in the hospital, this guy's here, this guy's there. They're going to be sending lay people to go out there and dispense the body of Christ, like Saint Tarsicius. That's what I see. That's what I'm thinking. There's not going to be enough priests to go dispense the body of Christ because they're going to be wanted and hunted and wanted. See, this is what's called an extraordinary situation where an extraordinary minister could be used, where like St. Tarsicius, he put the body of Christ in a white corporal cloth, folded it, and held it with reverence, and he was taken into the prisons. Mm. That's kind of what I see him saying here.
So I think that's what St. Basil was talking about, you know, where he allowed lay people to handle the body of Christ.
Correct. Yeah. It was catacombs, underground Catholicism situation.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I'll go on, Jess.
It isn't Mrs. Garcia every Sunday going up to the sanctuary and opening the tabernacle and standing next. No, that's not what it meant. Joseph Ratzinger said, men whose minds probe deeper than the slogans of the day, he says, his prophecy of a small church is readily interpreted as many parishes have closed and many bishops' mansions and rectories have been sold or should be. Amazingly, this man, who's considered one of the foremost theologians in modern centuries, saw the purified church as one without all the theological hullabaloo currently so dominant in Christian chatter. Instead of discussing our faith, Ratzinger was saying, in a purified church, we will worship. We will live our faith, not analyze it. Instead of dissertations, lectures, and theses and controversies, there will be prayer. The church will be more spiritual. The church will be a more spiritual church, not presuming upon a political mandate, flirting as little with the left as with the right, he said. The politics will be that of Jesus. It will be following the disciples, not worldly figures. There will be humility. There will be obedience. This builds towards purity. And as a small society, she will make much greater demands on the initiative of her individual members. Cardinal Ratzinger said in 1969, undoubtedly, she will find new forms of ministry and will ordain to the priesthood approved Christians who pursue some profession. In many smaller congregations or social groups, pastoral care will normally be provided in this fashion. But in all these changes, one might guess, the church will find its essence afresh and with full conviction in that which was always at her center, faith in the triune God and Jesus Christ, the Son of God made man, in the presence of the Holy Spirit until the end of the world. In faith and prayer, the church will again recognize the sacraments as the worship of God and not as a subject for liturgical scholarship. Mm-hmm. Let us repeat, in faith and prayer, the church will again recognize the sacraments as the worship of God, not as a subject for liturgical scholarship, because many people have strayed away. Ruben?
Mm. And it'll be hard going for the church, for the process of crystallization and clarification will cost her much valuable energy, Cardinal Ratzinger said. It will make her poor and cause her to become the church of the meek. The process will be all the more arduous for sectarian narrow-mindedness, as well as pompous self-will will have to be shed, he said. The definition of sectarianism is just denoting and concerning a sect or sects and a member of a sect, schismatic, disruptor, zealot, partisan, all those things. And so the Pope went on to say that, the future Pope, one may predict that all of this will take time. When the trial, the sifting is passed, a great power will flow from a more spiritualized and simplified church, he said, to repeat. Brilliant phrase, the trial of the sifting. Men in church in a totally planned world will find themselves unspeakably lonely. If they have completely lost sight of God, they will feel the whole horror of their poverty. They will find the little rock of believers as something wholly new. They will discover it as an answer to which they have always been searching in secret. And so it seems certain to me that the church is facing very hard times. The real crisis has scarcely begun. We will have to count on terrific upheavals. But I am equally certain, said the future Pope, about what will remain in the end, not the church of the political cult, which is dead already, but the church of faith. She will remain no longer be the dominant social power to the extent that she was until recently. But it will enjoy a fresh blossoming and be seen as man's home, where he will find life and hope beyond death.
Joseph Ratzinger, who became the Pope, He's talking about a remnant, and God will always have a remnant. In fact, the Bible actually tells us this. Mm-hmm. And don't buy into the nonsense that everybody's going to heaven. Not every Catholic will even go to heaven. That's not what the church teaches. But God does promise that he's going to have a remnant. In Romans chapter 11, verse 5, the Bible says, so too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. St. Paul also says about the Jews. God also has a plan for the Jews in Romans 9:27. He says, though the number of the sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them will be saved. So God even has a plan for the Jews. Reuben, this is the future of the Catholic Church, and that's not the future. We're here now. I think we're living now the times that Joseph Ratzinger talked about.
Right. The other thing I hear a lot of my Protestant friends talking about, the rapture. That's not Catholic teaching. So, because they don't want to embrace the suffering that they're going to see.
Exactly.
Right? What's coming next. They think they're going to be taken up, and hey, they're not going to have to deal with
it. And not have to wear a mask or get the jab.
Yeah. You've been listening to Jesus 911 with Two Man Car today, and stay tuned for Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Mishuda from the Midwest Command Center. We are 10-7. We're out. God bless you. Keep the faith.